Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Now, let me tell you about something rather interesting. Bringing Mary Lavin to life. Where? Well, in the middle of the fields. It's touring to West Cork, Dublin and Meath this month. I have the director with me, Joan Sheehy. Joan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Have Mark O'Regan, who the last time I saw him was prancing around the Gate Theatre, and I'm sure you'll be prancing around it again in the future.
Well, hopefully, Marty.
Please, God, it's
here.
Lovely to see you again.
Great to see you.
And beside you, with his enormous instrument, virtuoso, accordionist and all-round good fella, is Dermot Dunne. Dermot, good morning.
Good morning, hello.
Good morning, nice to have you. He's instrumental and ready. Because normally we'd be hearing him just on our own. So it's lovely to have a full house this morning, which is rather lovely. Joan, firstly, this play, the first thing to say about it is it's your baby. Tell us a bit about the play itself, firstly.
Well, it's a story. It's a short story by Mary Lavin.
Yeah.
And it's one of her most celebrated short stories. There are three characters in it. It's set on a farm in County Meath, and it's about a young widow who's managing the farm really well, but she's lonely for her husband. Then she needs her grass cut, and the man that works with her, Ned, advises that she brings in a local contractor to do that. And that's really the story.
Right.
And later they arrange a deal about cutting the grass. And then he comes back later that night to change the arrangement, saying he'll come later. And after that, then, like, there's, you know, quite a heated conversation between them, because she's very strong and saying, you know, you're putting the other farmers in front of me, and he's being very solicitous and saying, oh, but you're a woman on your own, and I don't want to, you know, put you out. And she's saying, you are putting me out. So it's a great argument.
Right.
And then they settle the deal. And then as he leaves, something happens, which I won't tell you.
No.
Some incident happens, and it's very interesting in loads of ways. Very interesting in terms of the story and their reaction to what happens, but also in terms of kind of the world we live in now and the whole black and white nature of how people react to certain incidents.
Because the world has turned.
But Mary Lavin is such a brilliant story.
Sure.
Teller.
When was it written?
It was written in the early 60s, set in 61.
All right. But the fascinating thing about the story itself, which is fascinating, it's in the middle of a field.
That's right.
So you're literally taking it to its source, if you will.
Yeah. I love a show like where you're kind of sitting in the atmosphere of the show.
Yeah.
And when I was looking at the story and thinking of how to do it, I thought, it'd be great to do this in a field. And at first I thought, it'd be great to do it in a hay barn. And then I saw these huge pagoda-style tents that
Sure.
you see now. And I thought, you could put the audience into that, and you could put the cast into that in the middle of a field. So when they talk about fields, we're looking out on fields.
What a great idea.
It is.
Is this a first? Now, I mean, we've all seen these fields and these tents and all the rest of it, and you get events in them, obviously, and you have concerts. But is this the first time a play has been done in this way?
I don't think it's the first, but I think it's the first where it's been done in this way to enhance the actual the play itself.
Yes.
You know, this is not just a location.
To put it in its place.
The only reason it's being done in this way is because we're surrounded by a field.
For sure. Now, we have Cathy Rose O'Brien, Seamus Moran, and the great Mark O'Regan, who's very expensive, I believe. And he's there.
He's worth every penny.
He is worth every penny. Mark, you'll be working in a field. Now, this, you know, where are you going? I'm just going out to a field now to do this. It's very different, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably something that you kind of think about at the beginning of your career. I mean, one of the companies, I'm going back now, Marty, probably nearly 40 years, Footsbarn, they used to travel a lot to Ireland, and they regularly performed in tents, and I saw them a few times, and I remember thinking, it's not circus, but it is such an unusual kind of place to play out. So when Joan mentioned this to me a couple of years ago, I thought it was an absolutely inspired notion, because we work in a kind of an open-sided tent, so you can actually see all the landscape around you. And there are so many references to fields, to farming, to agriculture, that you, as an audience member, you just can't help looking out. And we use that to enhance the piece, which was a lovely added bonus for us.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
But I mean, just on Mary Lavin herself, I mean, she's somebody, I suppose, who's always, everybody's been aware of her reputation over the last 50 years. But Marty, honestly, I mean, coming back to her and looking at her exactness, her intelligence, her humanity, her honesty, I mean, she's up there, and I'm not exaggerating, she's up there with Chekhov and Balzac. I mean, people sometimes say, oh, Liam O'Flaherty and John O'Fallon, she's better than them, I think. You know, she's really, right. really, and evergreen, no pun intended, but she is somebody that is as vital as she was 60 years ago.
I'd say sold a few tickets there, John. What do you think? I'd say a few tickets gone straight into the coffers without any question. Now listen, tomorrow, where are you tomorrow? Tomorrow's the first one.
We open in Ballydehob. So our tent is up beside the hall in Ballydehob,
right.
And we're the first event in the West Cork Fit Up Festival.
So, and how long will you be there?
Five nights.
And then you're on the move.
Then we're on the move. Then we come to Dublin. And at Richmond Barracks in Inchicore, there's a beautiful field garden behind Richmond Barracks.
Oh, if I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I live near it and I didn't know
That's
it until a couple of months ago.
Right.
It's a beautiful field. And there's already a tent there. So we're going to play in that tent for 10 nights.
And that's from the 18th till the 29th. And then?
Then we go to Bechtiff,
right.
Which is where Mary Lavin was from.
Yes, yeah.
And we're playing in Bechtiff Mills, going to put the tent up on the banks of the Boyne. So we'll be able to see, from the opening in the tent, we'll be able to see Bechtiff Bridge that she wrote about. She'd have walked through these particular fields.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It is. It's chilling in a way. It's quite something. Yeah, it is quite
chilling.
Something.
The other day there was a photograph of her in the paper, in the Meath Chronicle, of her standing in a field beside the Boyne. I mean, it could well be where you're going to be.
Well, listen, you're going to give us a piece. This is. Tell us what you do. Before you do it, tell us what you do, because I can see that the virtuoso accordionist, Dermot Dunn, is itching to play.
He's on the buttons now. So the context of this is, Joan mentioned earlier that this neighbouring farmer comes to this widow to give her an assessment of what needs to be done in the middle. During the course of a conversation he has with her, he seems to be self-absorbed about something, about a woman that he courted in the past. And when he leaves, the retainer, Ned, played by me, engages her in conversation about this mystery woman.
Okay, lads, well, I'll let you off.
Did you hear about the girl he courted down there? Do you know who that was? It was his first wife. You know he was twice married, don't you? Ah, well, it's so long ago, I wouldn't wonder if you never heard it. Look at the way he spoke about her himself, as if she was some girl he all but forgotten. The thorn trees brought her to his mind. That's where they used to meet, being only youngsters, when they first took up with each other. Poor Bridie Logan. She was as wild as a hare, and she was mad with love, young as she was. They were company keeping while they were still going to school. Only nobody took it seriously. Him least of all, maybe, till the winter he went away to the agricultural college in Clonakilty. They started writing to each other then. And I used to see her running up to the postbox at the crossroads every other evening, and sure, the whole village knew where the letter was going. His people were fit to be tied when he came home in the summer and said he wasn't going back, but that he was going to marry Bridie. All the same, his father set them up in a cottage on his own land. It's the cottage now he uses for the stall feds. It's back of his new house. Oh, but you can't judge it now for what it was then. Giddy and all as she was, as light-headed as a thistle. You should have seen the way Bridie kept that cottage. She would have had it scrubbed away if she didn't start having a baby. He wouldn't let her take the scrubbing brush into her hands after that. Oh, she couldn't do enough for him. It was like as if she was driven on by some kind of a fever. You only had to look into her eyes to see it. do you know, from that day to this, I don't think I've ever seen a woman so full of going as that one. Did you ever happen to see little birds flying about in the air, like they were flying for the devilment of it and nothing else? Do you ever see the way they give a sort of a little leap in the air, like they were forcing themselves to go a bit higher still, higher than they ought? Well, it struck me that was the way Bridie was acting, as she rushed about the cottage doing this and doing that to make him prouder and prouder of her. As if he couldn't be any prouder than he was already, with her condition getting noticeable.
That was beautiful.
Fantastic.
That was fun. That was just lovely. That was just lovely. For a minute there, I didn't think Dermot was going to come in at all. Dermot, that was lovely as well. Mark, that was gorgeous.
Thank you, Matthew. I mean, as I say, I mean, look, I couldn't say enough about Mary Lavin as a writer.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you're immersed in it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you were...
Total immersion.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was evident. Joan, you couldn't get anyone better to do that. Jeepers tonight now. That was lovely. Did you see this play in the past?
No. You see...
Didn't you?
It's never been done as a play.
Has it not?
No. My idea was to take the story and not change any of the words. So
right.
We leave in the he saids and the she saids.
Yes.
But because there's three central characters and there's a lot of dialogue between them, that works very, very well.
Yes.
And then maybe when two characters are talking, another character describes, oh, she said doubtfully, or he said, you know, with a twinkle, or...
So, in a way, it's... And this is going to sound ridiculous. In a way, it's like a living audiobook. If you
That's
think
a really
about
good
it,
description of it.
Isn't that what it is? Because in front of your eyes, you're seeing characters who are, if you will, doing it as it would appear on a page.
Yeah.
Which is quite
interesting. But they're interacting and they're moving and they're reacting to each other.
Crikey, there'll be an award in this for you, I'd say. It's very different. And musically, can I shout over to Dermot? Dermot, do you play more music? Presumably you do during the course of the evening, you do.
Yeah, and so there's some places where there's little underscoring like you heard there, and then there are a few little interludes to set the next scene and so on.
And did you write them yourself? No,
Tom Lane wrote all the music for the show.
And is it possible at all for you to play a little piece for us?
Sure.
Just while you're here.
Can I go?
Yeah, go on. I suppose it'd be safe to assume that wouldn't be good news. Am I right? If I can be brutally honest with you. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. I love your description, Joan. Reimagining the story under a large, stretchy tent. I just think it's a fantastic concept. I hope, please God, we're about and we can get over maybe to the barracks. I'd love to be able to go and see it. It sounds fantastic. Oh, it'd be lovely. Listen, thank all three of you for coming in this morning. That is terrific. Well done. That was just gorgeous. Mark O'Regan and Dermot Don, and of course, starting us out, Miss Joan Sheehy, who's responsible for this. We're going to finish off. Oh, yeah, sorry, just to say, if people want tickets, I'm going to deliver for this. If people are looking for tickets, bringing Mary Lavin to life in the middle of the fields, how do people get tickets?
Eventbrite in the middle of the fields.
In the middle of the fields, and Eventbrite is all you need.
When they scroll down, they'll see the different venues.
Okay, that's perfect. Eventbrite in the middle of the fields, and then you'll know where they are. West Cork from tomorrow, and then Dublin, and then in Meath. We're going to finish. You, Dermot, don't do a great version of Cinema Paradiso, which we have in the system, and I thought it'd be a nice way to finish off this evening. And I'm sure at the after party, yourself and the Irish Chamber Orchestra might turn up and do it. I just thought we'd finish up with that. Thank you, all three of you. That was a joy. Thank you.